Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Now, read verses 29 to verse 34. This is the reading of God's Word. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. For Joshua and for Vanessa, they heard the shorter version of this study. I'll give you the longer version today. At the supermarket, the section for onions is usually a little messy, isn't it? Because there's a lot of outer layers, which is usually considered trash. Some of us really like this mess, because it means we can collect all the trash, and the cashiers won't charge us a penny. What many people consider trash, we bring it home. And my wife washes them clean, and then she'll freeze them. That's her part. My part is to take out a handful of the frozen onion outer layers and put it in our biggest pot with water and let it boil for about an hour. Then we drink it. It helps with our bad cholesterol and high blood pressure. Folks, you don't need a doctor. Well, you do. It helps a little. Well, for some of you who may be turned off because it may taste horrible, no worries. Because the outer layer actually has no flavor. It's like drinking water, but better. Because it's got beautiful colors. And is good for our health. Because we may not see the value, many of us can easily dismiss the outer layers, thinking it's not valuable. Sometimes I think we do that when we read the Bible. So today in our passage, I want us to see what we may not value is really valuable and helpful for us to taste God's goodness. So I want you to pay attention to two words today, after sunset. And I want to show you how valuable that is in our passage. But before we do, I want us to reflect briefly on Jesus' authority over our families and over our lives. So let's get into the word. Mark 1, verse 29. It reads, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. What happened in the synagogue? Well, in Mark chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, it reads, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach, right? The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had what? Authority. Okay? So, in the synagogue, Jesus taught the people God's word, just as God's people will come to the church today to hear God's word. And God's word was taught, we're told, with authority, which means God's word must have supremacy over our thoughts and over our own lives. And I pray that this will be true for you, that his word is what you come today to learn, and submit under the authority of his truth to reign, to rule, and for us to obey his ways in our lives, especially in areas where you might think differently than God's word. That's how we know God's word has authority, when his people completely submit in all things that he teaches, especially in areas where we might think differently. May I humbly encourage all of us, let's not be stubborn and insist our ways. May we humbly delight to submit under God's authority in His Word. Now, after teaching and healing in the synagogue, where did Jesus go? To Simon's home, we're told. And when they arrived there, he was alarmed of one thing. Mark 1, verse 30. It says, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. You know, there seems to be a consensus in all of the culture, in all the cultures of the world. The relationship with the mother-in-law is meant to be terrible. Let me give you a few examples. A Yiddish proverb says, mother-in-laws are fine so long as they are deaf and blind. Catalonian proverb says, a mother-in-law made of sugar still tastes bitter. Italian proverb, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, storm and hail. Yeah, I picked about 15, but I'll stop there. Since our world teaches us that the relationship with the in-laws are bad, should that be our expectation? Should that be our attitude when facing our in-laws? That's why I notice here in our passage, verse 30, because in Simon's home, who was there? Mother-in-law. Why would Simon have his mother-in-law at his home? Rather than hating her, rather than distancing from her, Simon had her at his home to care for her in love, like family. Though much should be said about the beauty and love of the family, for today, I simply want to say one thing. And that is, even though the world says we should be enemies, even though the world says we should dislike and perhaps even hate each other, even though the world says that a relationship you want to stay far, far away from, I pray that we will not let the world dictate our lives. Though not only the world, I pray that we will not let our feelings dictate our lives. Just as our Heavenly Father cares and loves us, even when we were His enemies, may our Heavenly Father cultivate our hearts so that we can learn to live as God's reflection to the people around us, beginning with our own family. May God's truth have authority over our family's lives so that we will learn to care and love even as we see Simon's example today in our passage. So let's not give the world the authority over our lives that belong only to our Heavenly Father, that belongs only to our Lord Jesus Christ. May Christ and His words alone and always have authority over our lives. Romans 3:4 has ministered to me for such a long time. It reads, let God be true in every person. And that always includes me. Be a liar. See? Yeah. Let's not let the world lead us to dislike and hate people because that's the expectation. Let's not cancel or dismiss or disrespect people because they have a different thoughts and attitudes. But as our God loves us, let's love our family as Christ did. Let's love the people around us as He loved even His enemies. That's the authority we want to submit under today. But I want to get to the heart of our message today and get to those two words. What were the two words I wanted you to understand today? After sunset. Okay, so we'll get there. Let's go to Mark 1, verse 32 and 33. That evening, after sunset, right? The people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. So the two words, after sunset, caught my attention as I was reading this passage. And when something catches my attention, then I slow down and reread. Remember the sermons from the last 2 weeks from the Gospel of Mark? In chapter 1, verse 1, I told you to pay attention to the words, the beginning. Because he made us pause to consider why this beginning was truly crucial, important, and actually life and eternity changing. This beginning was going to do that for us. Mark 1:1. Then in verse 14, last week I told you to pay attention to the words after John was put in prison. Again, making us pause to consider, what has John going to prison got to do with Jesus proclaiming the good news? If you're asking, go check our website and listen to last week's message. For today, though, the two words, after sunset, made me sit and meditate. Why did the people wait until evening after sunset? We're told in our passage, to start bringing the sick people to Jesus and be healed. Remember what day it was? Let me take you. Mark 1, verse 21 and 29. I left up all the other things just so we can highlight. He says, what day was it? When the Sabbath day. And how do we know what Sabbath day it is? As soon as they left the synagogue. Two clues. Both saying it was Sabbath day. That's why the people went to the synagogue. Now, what is the significance of the Sabbath day and sick people getting healed? You know, according to the Sabbath law, the teachers, the Jewish leaders and elders, they believe that healing was work, and they forbid working on the Sabbath day. And so whenever they thought somebody was healing, he was breaking the Sabbath law. Are you following? That's why Jesus often got into trouble with the Jewish leaders, because he actually healed the sick on the Sabbath day. And thus the leaders accused him of breaking the Sabbath law by working. So then, the question from our passage is, if the sick people were healed on the evening of the Sabbath day, were they not breaking the Sabbath law? And the answer is, no. Because the Sabbath day ended by the evening. So the Sabbath day was Friday evening sundown to Saturday evening sundown. That's why today's word, those two words, after sunset, is very crucial understanding this passage. By waiting until after sunset, the people were actually waiting out the Sabbath day to be over so they could start bringing the sick people without breaking the Sabbath law. So in one sense, we really have to applaud their patience and their obedient hearts to want to keep the law. Despite their suffering, they were willing to wait until after the sunset to receive their healing. In other words, they were willing to suffer longer in order to not break the Sabbath law. Isn't that commendable? They placed God's law before their own well-being. As much as we should love to learn such a heart, there's something we really don't want to learn from them. May I point out that these people actually suffer so much more because they did not understand God's law properly. Let me ask you, how would you feel if you suffer so much more, all because you misunderstood God's word? Would that be okay with you? No, right? But that's what was happening here in our passage. So the question is, did God's law truly require God's people to wait until after the Sabbath day was over in order for them to receive the healing? The healing, that was a long sentence. The question. Did God's law truly require God's people to wait until after the Sabbath day was over in order for them to receive their healing? Now, let me present to you two healings from this chapter. And I want you to notice, if Jesus healed them before or after the sunset. Mark 1, verse 21, jumping to verse 25 and 26. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, right? Sabbath day. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Okay? Healing the impure man on that day. Mark 1, verse 29 and 30 to 31. As soon as they left, where? The synagogue, meaning still, what day? Sabbath day. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Healing here, okay? So did you catch? When Jesus healed the demon-possessed man, as well as Simon's mother-in-law, did Jesus wait until after the sunset, until after the Sabbath day was over to heal these two? Did they have to wait and suffer until after the sunset in order for them to be healed? Right? The answer is an emphatic no. God did not give a law that was against healing on the Sabbath day, because we clearly see Jesus healed these two people on the Sabbath day. But for all those people who came after the sunset waiting, they misunderstood, and their misery was only prolonged because of their misunderstanding. If they understood God's heart properly, then they could have all come sooner, and they could have all been healed earlier, and they could have all suffered so much less. Did you know sometimes we suffer thinking that is what God would want for us when it really isn't? Our Heavenly Father loves to heal His children as much as He hates to see us suffer, because that's the heart of our Heavenly Father. For the rest of this message, I want to highlight the beauty of the Father's heart displayed through Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, who gives us a new beginning. Mark 1:1, remember. So let me go over those very quickly. The Father's heart in Jesus. Mark 1, verse 34. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. I want to highlight for you four beautiful ways of Jesus that reflects to the Father's heart. First, Jesus healed everyone that came to him that day. He healed everyone. Why? Because Jesus is truly the great physician. He knows our pain. That's why he came to heal us. That's why he gives us an invitation in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. What does he say? Come to me, all you. And then I wrote in parenthesis there. Many of us think, wow, I'm not worthy. How can I dare to come to God? He is holy. I am not. For that reason, I wrote that in the parenthesis. I added to scripture. All you includes not just the good Christians who come to the worship, who read their Bible, who pray, and to do a lot of good things. Not only you good Christians can come. Everyone, all who are weary and burdened, what is his promise? I will give you rest. Did you know Jesus truly loves to heal us? Jesus knew that the Jewish leaders would oppose him and hate him for healing this man on the Sabbath day. But more than their hatred, Jesus loved this man so much, he chose to go into the synagogue in Capernaum, receive their hatred, only so that he could heal him. Jesus could have easily retreated into a solitary place after the synagogue, but he knew Simon's mother-in-law was sick. So instead of retreating to be refreshed and resting, he willingly and lovingly went to that house so that, verse 31 says, he could take her hand and help her up. Do you understand, my dear friends, brothers and sisters? When you are hurting, when you are suffering, Jesus wants you to come to him because he loves to heal you. Look at this town. Everyone who came to Jesus at Simon's home were healed. Everyone. Jesus loves to heal. Second, Jesus was so gracious to the people who were terribly mistaken. As Jesus waited for them to come, he knew they, the townspeople, all of them should have come sooner. But because of their foolish understanding, they all came when? After sunset. So when they came for their foolishness and for their stupidity, he could have lectured them and told them how dumb they were. Did he? He didn't, did he? We love to tell others, I told you so, right? When I'm right and they're wrong. But Jesus doesn't do that here, does he? He could have lectured, but he gives them what they needed urgently, and that's healing. And he healed them graciously. No strings attached. Isn't he amazing? Third, Jesus drove out the evil spirits that were torturing the people. We know physical sickness is not the only thing that ails us. Spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and many other ways, we suffer. And Jesus knows what we're suffering with. And he knows how we are suffering. And he knows where we are suffering. So Jesus takes the time to heal both the physical as well as the source of their sickness, the inward torture that are not so easily visible to the naked eye. Jesus truly is a complete physician, healing us both the outside and the root cause inside of us. Oh, doctors in our hospitals can only heal the wounds of our skins, the outside. When Jesus heals you, he does it all the way from the inside. He is truly an amazing healer. I hope you will go to him when you're hurting. Yes, take your pills. Yes, take your Advils. Yes, go see the doctors. But more than that, get on your knees. Come to our Savior. Jesus, I need you. I need your healing. Will you do that? Let me highlight one more beautiful ways of Jesus. And it is, Jesus will not let the demons speak. Why would Jesus silence the demons? Much can be said. But let me point out one truth. And that is, so that they will not be able to confuse the people about Jesus. You know, earlier in the chapter, the demons spoke. In Mark chapter 1, verse 24, he says, this is the demons talking. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. You see what they're doing? You understand what the confusion is? They were mingling truth with lies. What were the truth? Jesus is from Nazareth. Yes, he was. He came to destroy the evil spirits. Yes, he did. He is the Holy One of God. Of course he is. They're all true. You understand? But the evil spirits also accused Jesus to be a torturer and a destroyer. Now, folks, think along here with me. Isn't it true today, perhaps in you, many Christians think that God is good, yes, but he can also torture us by allowing misery and pain into our lives? Some Christians think that God is punishing them for their sinful ways, which is why some Christians suffer. So some Christians think when they get sick or get in a car accident or something bad happens to them, many times they think God is punishing them for not being good Christians, or maybe for not reading their Bibles, or for skipping Sunday worship at church. Many people, sadly including Christians in the churches, equate bad things in their lives as God punishing them. Folks, may I remind us, the wages of our sin is death. But you were not struck dead when you sinned, were you? See? So most importantly, all of our sins were paid in full in the death of Jesus on that cross. Which means whatever sins you committed, they were already paid in full by Jesus. So the Father has absolutely no debt to collect from your sins. To me, to this day, that just boggles my mind. How I can sin today and still not be held accountable for that sin because Jesus paid in full already, so the Father has nothing against me. The more God's truth captures you, yeah, the truth shall set you free, right? John 8:32, it did. Sets us free from the guilt and oppression of our sins. Let me remind us. Let's understand. Wrong understanding of our God brings a lot of unnecessary pain and misery. It is not God who is torturing us. It is our foolish misunderstanding, which is the root cause for our suffering and misery. So here, this time, Jesus does not give the demons an opportunity to confuse the people. Jesus simply stopped them from speaking so that they wouldn't confuse the people. Remember, just in this short passage, we see how Jesus loves to heal the sick, the suffering, and even the people that do not deserve such goodness. So in summary, we highlighted Jesus' four beautiful ways he loves us and treats us. Jesus healed everyone that came to him. Jesus was so gracious to people who were foolishly mistaken. Jesus drove out the evil spirits that tortured the people. And we saw why Jesus would not let the demons speak. So let me close this message by offering you a very sobering thought. Once again, Mark 1:34, the latter part of that verse, it says, because they knew who he was. The demons knew who Jesus was, and according to their words, they knew how to speak the truth. Yet, what they did with their words, let me reread that sentence. Yet, what did they do with their words, or more poignantly, what did they not do? They would not humble themselves and place their faith in God. In James 2:19, he reads, you believe there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Did you see? They say they believe and shudder, and still they won't humble themselves before God. You know, Judas saw all the amazing miracles and heard all the incredible teachings of Jesus. But what did he do with what he saw and heard from Jesus? Judas would not humble himself and place his faith in Jesus. Dear people, just because we see, just because we heard, just because we think we know does not guarantee we will place our faith humbly in Jesus. So may I encourage every one of us here, please, humbly pray that our God will bless our hearts to see and believe what Jesus did, that he truly did them for me, for each of you. May we believe Jesus has graciously invited us to come to him to taste His love, to receive His truth, to experience His goodness, and to overflow in His grace. What a beautiful God Jesus Christ is. And He is our God, our Lord, and our Savior. So, let's go to Him. We don't have to wait until after the sunset. We don't. We can go to Him now, for He is graciously waiting to love us, to welcome us, to heal us, to restore us, to bless us. Yes, He is. He is inviting each of you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for highlighting these two precious words, which we can easily miss. But you place those two words after sunset so that we will see your healing, your grace is so much greater than we ever imagined. And often we, like the people of the townspeople here, Lord, can often foolishly think and imagine you being different than who you really are. So Heavenly Father, we want to pray today. Will you bless and open our hearts and our eyes so that we will see truth in the truthful way you have us read, so that our lives, Lord, will learn to accordingly submit, obey, and follow you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us your word. We pray all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.